This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Hurts under center. He goes with a pitch to Barkley. Barkley across the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Goodbye!
That was the call last night on Eagles Radio. Good morning, Metroplex. We are loaded here in the firehouse. About to be really loaded with this Tolo dropping by with this tequila.
Dude.
Look at these bottles.
Looks fantastic.
On the fan cam.
Great twitching. Looking bottle.
Pepe, he brought one for you as well.
Thank you.
Give a shout out.
Yeah, this is
which one are you giving?
It's Joel. Joel brought these by, and this is my I don't know what this is. The añejo, is that what that is?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the difference
crack.
Is. I know that it's alcohol.
Drink a sip. Lower your voice a little bit.
You want me to?
No, you drank enough last night.
Hair of the dog, right?
So Pepe, he dropped by a bottle for you as well.
I think we should give it to Eric instead.
No. Don't do that.
Come on, Pepe.
Come on, I need that, man. I need that.
The fellas were
just drink partying. It out of the studio. There's plenty in there.
The fellas were partying while watching Thursday night. There's nothing wrong that there's alcohol in the building. He's going around trying to get y'all in trouble. Chia follow Bobby with his videos.
I know. I see that
alcohol, dry beer,
blowing up our spot.
This and that. Yes, Eric Chia follow has stopped by. Oh, this is the final firehouse tour of the year in Roanoke Station Number 1. We still have some fan beanies. I'm getting the text message. Grab me one. Hide me one. We got to leave it for the peeps that are coming out here. So come on out, stop on by, and grab some breakfast as well. What did you think, Chiafalo, over the fourth down decision? Dan Quinn is getting roasted. Did not kick the field goal. Saquon goes crazy. Eagles beat the Commanders.
Yeah, I felt like that was a moment, and the analytics reflect that you should have probably kicked the field goal there. I don't crush him for wanting to be aggressive. I understand, but there was still plenty of time left in the game, and then you put pressure back on the Eagles to have to go score again, and you know you're going to have enough time to match that and maybe have the final possession of the game. So,
are you surprised? You said that, and you're right, but I'm surprised that the analytics said kick. Fourth and one.
I think it's just
it was 12-10, 8 minutes left.
Yeah, with that amount of time left in the game,
you figure there's two possessions left.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Total. One each team, right? So you're gonna get the ball back.
And everybody always assumes like the analytics is always just saying go for it.
Right.
The analytics is always saying go for two and go for it on fourth down. That's not the case. And this was one of those where if you execute the play, I mean, they fumble they can't even get the exchange right. I mean,
yeah.
They might. Who knows if they actually get the right. First if they could have gotten the snap.
And also, real quick, Sean, the difference is too. What didn't matter what they did, their win percentage either way was going to be below 45%. Even if they kicked the field goal to the lead, you know, you're only taking a 1-point lead now. You're giving the ball back. You're still projected to lose, even if they made it.
Well, I want to know if the analytics take into account. And this is what the old school people say. The Eagles kicker left 7 points on the board. He was struggling. He was terrible, right? He missed two field goals and an extra point. Awesome. So you're Washington, take the lead by one. Just take the lead. It's a low-scoring game. You're not in a shootout to where you have to convert fourth downs to score touchdowns. So do they take that into account and the low scoring of the game? Does that factor in? Because all those things add up to Dan Quinn kicking.
They've got here, most models have field position, score margin, time remaining, timeouts, and yards to go as the factors that they use to come up with it.
So score margin, just like if it's 30 to 7.
I would imagine part of what tells them to go for it is also the idea of, like, if you kick the field goal and make it, like the idea being that the reason to go for it there with how close the field goal is that you've got, even if they score a touchdown and get a two-point conversion, it's still a one-possession game because you'd be up by one. Like, all those sort of factors go into just the probabilities of what does it do to the score of the game, and it clearly harmed them. It was a bad call. I was sitting there last night while we were watching it, and that was the I was stunned he went out there with it. Mm-hmm. Now you want to give confidence to your players, but still,
and you got to leave some room open for like these models probably had to leave something open for if it's the fourth quarter and it's 12-10, points are right there. They've been hard to come by.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was 30-27, perhaps the model would say go for it because I feel you're going to give up more points.
But are they doing score margin difference in score or low scoring?
That because I don't know.
That's important.
That's important.
Right? We got a low scoring game. The wind could be 45 right. miles important. An hour. Yeah. You can't throw. That's important. We had a great disagreement in the prep email that I don't even think they're aware of.
I read his email. I read his email.
Okay. Dan Quinn reinventing himself.
Oh, here we go.
Bobby was melting over this article in peace, mainly because it was another opportunity to take a shot at McCarthy.
Yeah.
Choppy in total disagreement. Set it up, Bob.
Yeah, so this was an article that ESPN had released yesterday, and I thought it was really, really good. It's this dense piece talking about basically how Dan Quinn went back and reinvented himself after losing the Falcons job. He talks about how when he got fired by Arthur Blank, it was the very first time in his life that Arthur Blank had summoned him to his house after a game. And so he knew, like, this is not normal. Something's up here. He called his wife while he was driving home and said,
by the way, check out the Arthur Blank airline attendant story with a young girlfriend, supposedly, and the others working overtime, who they have working the flights when Arthur's flying.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly. Oh,
surprising. The guy with a pencil-thin mustache is
creeping?
Yeah.
Well, look at Peyton.
Exactly.
Oh, what's up there?
But he called his wife and he told her, I'm about to get fired, I think. He's like, just so you know, this is the context. This is probably what's happening. Got fired. Said he was mad initially, but then he quickly reflected and said, all right, what do I need to do differently? I need to go change some things. And so he had actually reached out and talked to Laura Oakman from Fox Sports. And Laura had deals with a lot of different coaches on image and different things like that. And he had said, hey, I'm ready to go through that evaluation process you pitched to me a couple years ago, which Dan Quinn had to go find 40 people that he had passed over for a promotion, fired, had just basically different assistants and things like that. And then she was to go to those people and do an anonymous survey on what does Dan Quinn not do well? What does he need to do well as a manager? Where do you think he needs to improve?
Are you saying Laura Oakman did that for Quinn?
Yes.
How did she? We need to get her on. I'm tired of this whole little unwritten secret that everyone doesn't talk about. How did Laura Oakman, who is supposed to be a sideline reporter, get this side role of coach image rehab? That's what she's doing. I don't know if I'm supposed to say it or not. Everyone kind of knows.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of says it in the article.
Okay.
So, I mean, it mentions it. And we make jokes about it every now and then.
You do.
Yeah, well, yeah, I make a lot of jokes about it. That's probably why she wouldn't come on. But, yeah, basically he went through, found the areas where he needed to improve. But he immediately after he got fired reached out to a bunch of different people that, you know, in different fields. So he talked to Terry Francona, he talked to Steve Kerr, Shaka Smart, like just trying to figure out, hey, structurally, what am I not doing right? Where do I need to improve? What do you guys look at things? So this is basically like the Mike McCarthy project that he did. The same image rehab thing where he went away, found the areas where he was deficient, and worked on it. The difference is Dan Quinn's is authentic and real and looks like he's actually implementing things and not just saying, I went into a bar and watched barn and watched every play of the season. Ha ha, just kidding. Now you're stuck with me. He didn't do that bit. But Dan Quinn, one of my favorite notes in this is that Sean Sweeney, the highly touted assistant.
Miracle McCarthy still comes on with us.
The highly touted
8:40 this morning.
The highly touted assistant coach for the Dallas Mavericks, Sean Sweeney, had previously been in Milwaukee with Giannis. And Dan Quinn, when he got Micah Parsons here in Dallas, the article talks about that he reached out to Sean Sweeney and said, hey, I'm just curious, how did you guys take such a unique piece like Giannis and turn him into the player he is? Because we've got a unique player in Micah Parsons, and I want to just know if strategically I'm doing everything that I need to. And he said, we just had him practice with the guards. He's a forward, but we had him practice with the guards. And Dan Quinn, easy, I can do that then. And so that's when he started cross-training him, having him work out with the defensive ends and the linebackers. And he said that that was the first push that got them to realize Micah Parsons can rush full-time. So you should love this.
It's a cute story. It's a cute story. It really is. It warms my heart. I got the fuzzies all over the place right here, okay? I'm tingly in certain parts. It's
amazing.
Not just
amazing. The robe, but the fuzzies.
It's not just the robe. This is really cute. You know, the guy went and we buy him reinventing himself, but McCarthy we don't buy. The guy, I mean, I'm sorry. Dan has almost as many losses as Mike has in, like, the last 3 years in each season, and we're halfway through. It's really cute. You know, Dan Quinn was really good when Matt Ryan was elite. And when Matt aged poorly, that is, Dan started to stink. And, you know, and now he gets an elite quarterback. And, wow, unbelievable. He's doing well again. Holy cow, who could have thought that one?
Here's the thing. Do you disagree with the idea that Dan Quinn came in here? Like, I mean, have we not all been going, man, we didn't know what we had with Dan Quinn. Sure miss him this year. Do we not agree that he did come in here and completely...
He's a good coach.
He was considered, in Atlanta and previous stops in Seattle, he was considered a guy who it's, this is my scheme and this is where you go. As soon as he got to Dallas, that did change. He actually did go away and study things and said, I need to change, and started saying, where can I use people to maximize their abilities? And I can't just say that football player doesn't fit for me. I've got to find a way to make my scheme fit them.
I'm not saying he's a good coach.
That's where I say, it's a difference between him and McCarthy's, because McCarthy has stepped into this job here in Dallas, and it's playing out all the same way that he got criticism in Green Bay. It is a complete repeat.
Well,
he didn't learn anything new.
Be fair. He ditched his offensive scheme when he got here. And he let the Cowboys continue with what they were using, just to make
effectively.
Things...
Thank you.
Well, but that's a credit to him.
And then he went, let's go back to mine. We need to go back to three.
And
step
Dak
drops
had his best year that year that they decided to change things.
Dak
up.
Dak had his best year after Dak took over the offense.
Oh, and now they're back at the McCarthy way of doing things, which is 30 years ago football.
Well, look, I'm not trying. This is not a reference. We're not having a McCarthy versus Quinn conversation. It's just
kinda.
Dan Quinn.
exactly what we're having.
It's just Dan Quinn is a good coach, but this is a BS thing. I mean, he didn't reinvent himself. He got Jaden Daniels. If they drafted Caleb Williams instead, they're not 7-4.
He was different in Dallas. He did show here in Dallas he reinvented himself. And structurally, it sounds like he has been different. They talk about in here in this article that one of the examples of Dan Quinn giving things up and really evolving was the fact that he turned over so much of the defense in the last 2 years here in Dallas to Joe Witt. And he gave him more and more responsibility, because that was one of the feedback points he got from assistants was, you spread yourself too thin. You don't do enough to build up assistants. You're not doing enough to just kind of turn things over them and let them do what they do. And Joe Witt was a guy who went, you know what? Good point. I'm going to let go of some things that I normally would do and hand them over to Joe Witt and let him flourish with it.
Eric, where do you and the G-Bag Nation stand on the replacement? Who is everyone throwing up there as their number one candidate for Mike?
I think we all pretty much want Ben Johnson, the play caller for the Lions. I especially now, and this was something that we discussed too, is it seems like Dak is, we have a Lions fan here.
I think that's Lion fan Jeff right there. That's who I think that
is. Oh, my.
Well, he's rapping. He's very on brand as he's in the Honolulu blue from head to toe.
Yes.
I think we all want Ben Johnson. We don't think that the Cowboys – I don't know that Ben Johnson wants the Cowboys. I don't know that the Cowboys want Ben Johnson. But Dak Prescott is now going to be a statue pocket quarterback, immobile. And you see Jared Goff being one of the most statuesque quarterbacks in the sport and how much Ben Johnson is getting out of him. That's just an added layer of why I think Ben Johnson would be the right choice here.
Who do you think it could be or will be? Based on reality,
I think the Vrabel stuff is starting to really add up, and he's got the experience and all that kind of stuff.
Florio talking about Dion and Dan Lanning.
Yeah, and so Mike Florio wrote yesterday as this Dion chatter has gotten louder and louder, not just about Dallas but just the NFL in general. Florio was writing about the potential of NFL teams calling for Dion, and he mentioned what we've kind of touched on, the idea of if Shador is a priority, if that's a priority for Dion, as I want to work with him, then Dallas would naturally be out in that situation. So he pointed to a couple different ones where he thinks ownership desperation, potential for Shador would make sense. Jets, Raiders, and Saints are the ones where he thought they could potentially pull Deion aside. And I think Raiders make a ton of sense. Deion has this very public flirtation with Mark Davis. He's talked about Raiders were one of the few teams he would feel good with Travis Hunter and Shador going. And Vegas and Deion Sanders, primetime in Vegas, that's a marketing dream.
Well, Shador has been doing the TB12 stuff. Brady now, like his presence there, I think adds a whole other layer.
Mark Davis told Shador Sanders a couple weeks ago when he saw him at a basketball game, he said, you might already be home.
And Dan Lanning will never happen here.
I don't think it will. I mean, Jerry's not going to hire a college coach, I don't believe. I mean, Dan is going to get – he's going to get
– But you also mentioned
– And there's a $20 million buyout. Jerry won't even pay a coach $20 million, let alone pay – a college just $20 million for the right to hire the coach, right. Pay him more.
Well, Broadus mentioned something when we talked about Dan Lanning last night of Jerry Jones's relationship with the with Phil Knight, the Nike guy, who's the Oregon guy. Mm-hmm. And Broadus was like, I don't even think Jerry would want to take something away from Phil Knight because they're such good friends.
Oh.
And then Broadus also said that Kirby Smart is the guy that he views as Jimmy Johnson. And if you want a college coach.
That Jerry views Kirby as Jimmy?
No, Broadus. Broadus views Kirby as Jimmy. And he's like, if I'm getting a college coach, I'm bringing in Kirby.
I mean,
that's what Broadus said.
Take him. I would love to get him out of the SEC. But I don't want no visor guy.
Has Luka woken up yet after last night? And the Stars continue to make the Cowboys look silly. That's next. And Coach McCarthy right here on The Fan.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Lucas guarding John Collins. Clarkson with 5 on the clock. Now starts the play. Bullets into Collins, who's unguarded. He dunks.
Oh,
Luka forgot his man.
Look at Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson with a one-hand bullet. To John Collins, who grabbed it and dunked.
Luka Doncic falling asleep defensively. We, fortunately for Luka, have the best defense attorney in town, RJ Choppy. He was already trying to figure out an excuse to get Luka off the hook for falling asleep on the last possession. I think he was blaming the man responsible for Micah Parsons, Sean Sweeney, Matt's
yes.
defensive coordinator.
Absolutely blaming him. Okay.
More time with basketball players, less with football. Okay, Sean?
Listen,
yeah.
This is, there's no doubt this is, you know, Luka's going to take 99% of the L, 98% of the L. But if you go and you look at this, and look, Rube had to point this out to me. He pointed out the coach And then he just said, look, that's who that is. And he was, like, talking to him. And he's sitting there. They're right there on that side of the floor. And he's pointing. He's 5 feet from Luka, pointing, yelling something. You don't talk to your players in the middle of a play like that. Oh. They're trying to concentrate.
Gosh.
Okay? Everybody knows that. When your kid's at the bat, you're like, hey, put your arm up. Hey, do this. Hey, you gotta keep your weight back. 38 things go through their head, and all of a sudden, now it's a mind game, and they're screwed up. Again, most of the blame to Luka, but you got to take it on. You got to take an L there for the coach.
Here's Luka on what happened on that final possession.
Yeah, I was misunderstanding. I thought I was going to go hit. Thank you, Grimes thought he was going to go hit. It was allowed, so we misunderstood the bench.
I at least respect Chop the creativity and the alternative thinking and thought process and way to approach what is a slam dunk easy case of Luka's just got to get his head out of his behind there in that situation. You hear the Jazz announcers there. They are so thrilled. Like they say,
Jazz,
you know,
radio.
Luka's got it. And then immediately they just start like giggling almost like, ah, Luka just decided not to go in, but this is great. They were thrilled because that's how absurd it was. This is 100% on Luka. Yeah. There's no way you could put that on anybody else. But I respect the creativity.
But you hear he said, there, you know, we weren't from the cues we were getting from the bench, we had miscommunication. You wouldn't have had miscommunication if you weren't thinking.
Jazz get their first win at home. Someone tweeted me, Luka is missing more than the Eagles kicker from three. He was 4 of 13 last night. Klay was 5 of 13, 6 of 17 from the field. Not enough to overcome Kyrie out with a shoulder strain. Quentin Grimes, people are like, Jason Kidd, explain why you buried Quentin Grimes with the nice start that he had. He ended up with 15, Lively, 5 points, 4 blocks. Maxey was in there with only 3 points, and a pretty embarrassing loss to Utah to drop to 5-7.
I was listening to Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake last night while I was driving over to Choppy's house, and I think I heard Blake say that starting lineup combination that Jason Kidd went out with last night, that's the first time those 5 players have been on the floor together all year, and that was the starting combo. And so Jason Kidd's clearly trying to shake some things up with his rotation.
Right, I do think, though, like, and Luka obviously has been not good in the fourth quarter of these games, 4 of his last 15 going into last night. I mean, does any of us think it's pretty low for the best player on your team to take 2 shots in a fourth quarter?
Yeah.
In the entire quarter? And I don't know, like, I haven't done a study on the players around the rest of the league, the other superstars, but you think Durant and Steph and LeBron are taking 2 shots in the fourth quarter?
We've gone back 2 years ago now to the Jason Kidd feeling of not finishing, no execution, not having plays drawn up, momentum, stoppage, timeout, usage, all that stuff. We've just skipped last year in the Western Conference the NBA Finals, excuse me.
Yeah, no, I mean, and this is, yeah, you're right. We're going back to what it was 2 years ago, which I remember heading into that season where everything went wrong and we were all critical of Jason Kidd. We were talking about how wrong we had been about Jason Kidd, that we were all worried that he was going to come in here and have repeats of his time with the Bucks and the psychological games and the inability to, you know, draw up plays consistently and all those issues. And then we went, oh, we're so wrong. And so we get this back and forth a little bit. And so I'm a little guarded against being too critical of Kidd right now because I know it's burned me in the past where he rights the ship. And so for me, I feel like I got to write this off to, they did purge a number of different people from the rotation. They added a bunch of new pieces, and that they're still just figuring it out is the way I feel like.
Najee scored 19, 9 of 14 shooting off the bench. Mavs have lost 4 in a row by a combined total of 8 points.
Ooh.
8 points for the Mavericks. I believe 12th in the West right now. We got shout-outs. Jay Ochoa giving us more of a Christmas bonus than we've ever gotten from this company. Ridiculous, crazy. The man. Shout out to Matt and Josh as well. And we had a Tolo say, I got a challenge, a prop bet challenge for Bobby. He brought his 8-year-old Briggs out here to say this is who Bobby needs to play in golf. So an 8-year-old challenge.
Oh, you're getting worked.
For Bobby on the course.
You're going to get worked.
You want to treat this kid like Tyson did, that 14-year-old?
Look, I mean, I think that I'm going to be able to handle it. It's not a problem. We can have anybody out there we want on the course. Henrik, who was it we talked to over at
Liv? Henrik Stenson. Yeah, you know, major champion.
That guy, yeah.
British Open champ.
Yeah, I'm going to handle him. Anybody else you want to throw at me? it's not a problem. Caitlin Clark, for sure, as we've all seen. You know, we all got to go out there and wear helmets when we watch her play golf. But no, I'm ready. I can take Briggs on. I got a couple different shout outs here. First, Sergio over here, he approached me and he
Garcia?
Said, No, not Sergio Garcia.
Another guy you can't beat in golf.
I can absolutely beat him. Tiger Woods couldn't at that little bighorn match or whatever 20 years ago, but I got him.
Bighorn?
Whatever it was. I don't know. Google it. Use the Google machine. Whatever it was. No, but Sergio had, he said, I got to call you out. He's like, I sent you. A neighborhood watch story, like an exclusive about this incident of this teacher, like cops got involved. This teacher just, like, there was a barking dog. He went over to the neighbor's house and he shot the dog and killed it. And it became
this big.
But Sergio was like, I sent you that story. You said you were going to include a neighborhood watch and you never did. And so I had to apologize to Sergio and tell him that I'm scatterbrained and occasionally I miss things. So apologies there. And then shout out to Brody. Lawrence is here. He brought Brody with him. Brody turned 11 on Wednesday. And
happy birthday.
All right,
he's going, he's doing like horseback riding today with his sister as a birthday thing. But he told his dad, he said, Dad, that show we listen to every morning, it's here. Like, it's right. They live in Justin. He's like, it's right around the corner. We got to go see him. So he convinced Dad to bring him out here before he went and did his birthday trip. So happy birthday, Brody.
And happy birthday. Bando on Twitter said, happy 34 to me. Never thought I'd see this year.
I've met more of my neighbors today than I have in the years I've met them. Like, we had like more come by just because I posted on the Facebook page. Kevin and Eddie.
Packed.
Yeah.
It's packed, yeah.
Have you met in fact, this is the first time I've noticed the crowd like just moving to where now we've got like a backdrop of people.
Do you know why?
No, because it's cold.
40 degrees outside. They go, oh, it's warmer here in the firehouse. I'm still, you're a genius.
Dude, my like Choppy was talking about all the tissues I've stacked up here from I've been sniffing like Grego this morning. Just
jeez,
all the
Bobby, that was not sniffing.
All the stuff here. Like it's been brutal, man.
Sean Shreef, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insulter, Bobby Bell. Oh, look at this 8-year-old stepping up.
He's stepping up.
Look at him.
He just
flexing up on me.
Bray's coming in here.
Look at that.
He's like, oh, wow, you got shorts on. You're in the cold. I got a short-sleeve
T-shirt.
That's true. He's out here with a short-sleeve T-shirt. Mike McCarthy coming up at 8:40 this morning. What did he think of the fella's sleepover yesterday? But you guys were drinking last night. What about some drinking this weekend, some warnings?
How about this? First of all, what do they do with the champagne they serve in first class on an airplane? Do you ever wonder what they did with it when it's not? So they pour it out.
I figured the pilots consume it based on some of the news.
They don't drink it. First of all, apparently.
You mean the leftover champagne?
The leftover champagne. So they give the first class customers champagne when they get on the. Apparently, we're flying the wrong airlines if they're getting also in the wrong class of plane because they're given. Let's see. What is this? It's called, Moët. And Veuve Clicquot. They're giving these out on an airplane for crying out loud. They just dump it out. That's the most wasteful, ridiculous thing. How are these flight attendants and pilots not drinking these the rest of the champagne? I don't even care.
But is this like at the end of the day? Like you carry over the bottle for the next.
No.
I hope they don't have to.
No, each flight, dump it out.
Really?
That's why our flights are so expensive. They're dumping it out.
You think Elon can fix this? Is there some. Is there some committee that's going to rein this in? Wasteful spending?
The Department of Global Efficiency or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, let's
government. Of course, the mayor knew that one.
This is the mayor.
The mayor.
let's see if Elon can consistently get his little spaceships in the air with some consistency.
It landed beautifully. Their arms wrapped around it, and it landed beautifully. Are you calling out a spaceship?
The SpaceX launches. I'm just joking about those from the past.
So did you ever wonder who has the worst diet of any of the drinkers?
Yeah, fat people.
Fat people have the worst diet. Look, that's a Tesla.
I drowned it in Cheetos.
That's pretty cool.
That's a Tesla limo. Tesla.
What do you mean who has the worst diet? Like what individual I know?
No. Of the drinkers. Beer
Bobby
drinkers.
Bobby getting his second Taco Bell of the night.
Beer drinkers, red wine drinkers. You know, all that stuff. Like, are you eating the right?
It's not red wine drinkers.
It's
not red wine drinkers.
No, it's not. It is actually like the hard liquor drinkers that actually have a better diet than the beer drinkers. The beer drinkers are kind of in the middle. I never would have guessed this. I would have thought for sure it was that the beer drinkers would have had the worst diet. Not the other way around.
So hard liquor has the worst diet.
Yeah, like you generally, if you're consuming the hard liquor.
Yeah.
You're going to go with worst diet type.
That goes to my filling theory. Like, if I told you I want to drink something that I feel like is burning a hole in my stomach before I eat a meal. Beer's going to fill you up.
It fills you up.
Can you eat as much off of drinking six beers versus six shots?
Nope.
I guarantee the six shots, you're going to eat more.
Absolutely. That's part of what it is.
And you'd be more messed up, so you would eat worse. That's my theory.
And I think that's what it boils down to. The beer just fills you up too much.
I had no problem eating double Taco Bell last night after drinking nothing but liquor. Had that been beer, probably would have filled me up. I wouldn't have been able to eat.
So y'all ordered Taco Bell to the house, and then he went and got it again?
Yes.
How much Taco Bell did you order?
We got like...
Not enough.
He had it all.
Wes dropped the ball there. I would have been willing to pay one of his itemized receipts if he would have bought more Taco Bell. But.
I think it was like five chalupas.
Five chalupas? What's your go-to
there? There was a quesadilla, and then there were like three tacos. And then there were like five people there. So I needed more.
They're out here in bathrobes, in case you did not believe us. Roanoke Firehouse Station, number one, 201 Fairway Drive, for another 90 minutes. Let's preview the Texans and recap the sleepover with the head coach of America's team. Mike McCarthy is next. It is now time for the head coach's show. It's Mike McCarthy here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Every Friday at this time, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. And we need coffee this morning out here. Station number one, the final firehouse tour of the year in Roanoke. That's Choppy's Hood, 201 Fairway Drive on 105.3 The Fan, as we get you set for the Cowboys and the Texans Monday night on this radio station. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
Cold.
Yeah. Cold. These guys are wearing matching pajamas from their sleepover last night. So bunk bed sleepover for the morning show, Coach. How much FOMO do you have over missing that?
I'd like a little more detail. That's interesting.
Choppy lives so close to the firehouse, and so I wanted to ensure I was here on time, and so we just turned it into a little sleepover with matching robes and pajamas.
Oh, is that what you're going with there, huh? That's interesting.
Yeah. Coach, we are dressed under the robes, though. We do have clothes on.
That's very, very smart. Very smart move on your guys' part. What kind of pajamas do you have on?
they're like these blue plaid, very soft robes, but they're nice. That for $18, they're not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's impressive. Very impressive. I'm sure the firemen appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a very manly outfit for today. Now, Coach, you always talk about entertaining and having family over. What's your pet peeve for company staying over? Are you monitoring everyone and making sure everyone's using a coaster? Do you have a chair no one can sit in? Like, what's the Mike McCarthy house rule for anyone coming over and hanging out or sleeping over?
Well, I'm definitely I'm a little past doing sleepovers at my age, so I apologize for. I've graduated from that. But yes, we definitely enjoy having family over, and my wife does an incredible job of being the social coordinator. So I'm just kind of I'm labor. I like to look at myself as, you know, I do what needs to be done.
Mike McCarthy joins here, 105 through the Fan. All right. This past week, you know, Cooper, this was not like the best game he's had. We've seen him play tremendous in the past. Do you think his neck was a main reason for his performance on Sunday?
I mean, it definitely didn't help him. He took a good shot there, so he's feeling better. But you know, hey, it's another week. There's always plays early in the game, especially, you know, anytime you're, you know, having your first start or when you come in as a backup. You know, you're just trying to get some credibility into the game. Where, you know, what I'm talking about, just getting completions and getting on a roll and getting that momentum going in the huddle. And we just really could never establish that.
Coach, we know you want to go downfield more. We saw him make a couple nice throws the previous week. Was the lack of downfield passing attack more of what they were doing defensively, Cooper neck, a combination of things? What led to kind of the lack of downfield attempts in the passing game?
Oh, I think just like anything, you're going through a game plan, you're usually setting up those type of throws, those type of plays. And, you know, I was, you know, I felt like we were in good shape at halftime as far as, you know, how we were playing the game. You know, that, you know, you take away the two turnovers here. I mean, those were huge plays in the first half. I mean, it's a different ball game for us. You know, we would have definitely been in the lead, but the ability to run it and set some of those throws up was the plan. You know, the thing that really got us was, you know, the three and out in the second half, and then the three giveaways. It's just, you know, you're not gonna get behind people too much in that situation.
Coach, we've heard you speak really highly before of your quarterback's coach and a former player of yours, Scott Tolzien. When you're trying to get a backup quarterback ready to play like Cooper Rush, how helpful is it to have somebody there coaching the position who you've had direct experience with preparing them to do this very thing and play in place of your starter?
I think it's very important. I think the opportunity to have former quarterbacks in the room is important. You know, Scott has been in Cooper's chair. And they, you know, they have a different relationship than anybody on that team. So, yeah, I think it's very important to have former quarterbacks in your room. And I know just from a design perspective, you know, as a head coach, you know, always being, you know, in the quarterback room for 30-plus years, but, you know, I did not play the position. So I think it's important to have, you know, if you can, one of your former quarterbacks, but definitely have that quarterback experience in the room. I think it's a relationship, it's a connection that Scott has with the other quarterbacks that's very important.
Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Rico Dowdle seems to be kind of finding his rhythm a little bit recently, and he's one of the guys who got to Dallas the same year that you did and has stayed with you for the entire time to this point. Can you talk about how satisfying it's been for you to just see his growth and some of the perseverance that he's shown through the injuries and over the years?
Definitely. I'm really proud of Rico. I think as, you know, his first 2 years, you know, just some guy, and it kind of goes this way sometimes for players is, you know, you get all your injuries in bunches, you know, and, you know, if you remember first time Rico was given a chance in 2020, you know, he returned a kickoff for a touchdown. So, I mean, he's always has done a really good job of taking advantage of his opportunities, and I think you're seeing that now, and I just got to continue to get him opportunities.
Coach, how many carries do you think he can handle in a game?
How many can handle? Man, he's got a violent run style, but I think he can handle north of 25. You know, 22, 25 would be perfect for him.
Mike McCarthy.
But he's also good out of the backfield too. You know, I mean,
right?
You know, if he can get him three to five touches out of the backfield too, I think that'd be a perfect day for him.
Mike McCarthy here, join us on 105.3 The Fan. All right, C.J. Stroud. I mean, most quarterbacks don't come into the league and look as poised as he has, you know, early in his career. What have you seen that's just different about him?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, they did a really good job, you know, systematically with him. But he can make all the throws. And I think the one thing that's always stood out to me about CJ, I think he has excellent arm talent. But his ability to throw in pressure situations, particularly, you know, when it's a tight pocket. So he not only has the torque, you know, to really, you know, drive the football, but he also has the ability to get the football quickly, you know, under pressure too. And, you know, that's something that you always look for when you're evaluating these college quarterbacks. You're always looking for tape of them playing under pressure and how they handle the throw with a, you know, defender right in their face. And I think, this, you know, for a young quarterback, I think he's exceptional at that.
What has been their issue in the second half of games offensively? It's like, it seems like they haven't scored a touchdown in the second half of game almost since like September. What have they done differently?
I can't tell you that specifically, but you know I do know that, you know, they've had some ups and downs. They got good numbers overall, so let's just hope we keep them on that path.
Coach, you talked on Wednesday about the fact that you guys have started the window for Chuma Edoga. You're getting him back, and how awesome Richards played well at left tackle last week. And you referred to it as healthy competition. So when you say that, do you mean that just in the iron sharpens iron sense, or do you have it as an active competition at that spot now?
Oh, I think it's a 360. I think anytime you have, you know, everybody available, it's a healthy situation to be in because, you know, everybody's getting reps, you know, particularly when you have a veteran guard like Zach. So there's going to be opportunities on Wednesday and Thursday for reps at right guard. You know, Tyler Smith was limited. You know, didn't practice Wednesday, so there's more reps there. So I just think anytime you get reps as a young player or returning, you know, from an injury, it's a great situation to be in. And when you practice and it's on video, it's you know, you're always competing. So we always know that, you know, we're always lining up to, you know, the battle and keep our jobs.
What have been some of your early impressions of Jonathan Mingo since the trade and how he's coming along in his preparation?
Hard worker. He's doing a really good job picking things up. So I think he's getting more and more comfortable. But, you know, really, really, really like what he brings to the table. I think he's a good fit for us.
Can we expect to see him Monday night?
I hope so. That'd be great.
That'd be great. Mike McCarthy here on 105.3 The Fan every single week at this time on DFW Sports Station. Coach, when Lamb and Jalen Tolbert talk about, you know, this son issue being a problem, do you take that to Jerry? And do you feel like, you know, if the players wanted something to change with that, curtains or whatever, that could happen? Do you take that to Jerry?
Well, you know, I think like anything that goes on with your facilities or, you know, stadiums, I mean, this is not a conversation that just started, you know, today. You know, but both teams have to play with it. You know, we have a process that we go through, you know, every home game in our game management meeting, you know, based on when we, you know, feel the sun's going to come into the, you know, come into the stadium. So we're well aware of that. You know, there's a process with, you know, pictures and you know, from previous days, and so you do the best you can, you know, planning for it. But I mean, there's weather, you know, there's weather criteria at a lot of stadiums. You know, the last place I worked at, you know, it's you always had to be aware, you know, which way the wind was coming in, and then when they had the north end zone expansion, that changed it, and then they had the south end zone expansion, it changed it. Frankly, you know, I go to the stadium very, very early, home games and away games. But, you know, every away game, you know, Bucky, our equipment guy, him and I go out onto the field and we put our compass out and we look at north, south, east, and west, and then we always check the elements. So, to me, it's just part of a home field or an opposing stadium, the climate that you're playing in that day.
Do y'all get a chance to like, and maybe logistically it's not feasible because you got to move so much stuff, but during the week to, you know, have a practice out there, you know you're going to play a game at a certain time and you just, you know, in the same element conditions with the sun, and do you ever get a chance to do that?
That's a good idea. No, I have not done that, but, you know, I think it's just like anything. You just, you know, the situation, you know, when your schedule comes out and you know, the challenge is going to be the afternoon games, and you look at how many you have, you know, the time of year you have, whether it's daylight savings time or not, you know, you just take all those things in the play, and then you chart a course the best you can.
Have you noticed it's worse if the windows are open versus they're closed?
Choppy's really interested in the campus.
Oh, man, that's good.
I love the sun.
This is probably your best follow-up segment ever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's the PJs.
Yeah. You can't get that visual out of my head, but I'm really filibustering here, too.
I have a final one. Coach, who do you got in the fight tonight, Tyson or Paul?
I'm going with Tyson. I think you have to stick to your generation. I think it's going to be a great event. I think it's awesome that, you know, these guys are doing this. I think it's going to be a great night at AT&T Stadium.
Coach, thank you so much for putting up with us yet again. Enjoy the weekend and best of luck Monday night. Thank you.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, with RJ Choppy making a play to get on the coaching staff with that practice sun suggestion that they have not thought of.
They have not thought of it. They have not
practice
thought of
practice outside with the rain to get acclimated to the rain, but not right. With the different sun conditions.
You would think that you know, somewhere in the last 15 years of this stadium, they would have thought of that one.
All right, Choppy has a brand new outfit on. The robe is off, and the firehouse gear is on. We have another RJ Choppy Firehouse Challenge. Get on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Final hour from Roanoke Fire Station number 1 is next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.